Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Maybe your life, your Christian spiritual life, was on fire at one time. And I know that's been an overused cliche in church, you know, I'm on fire for Jesus. But you know what I mean by that. Like, you're just passionate. Like, you just want more of God. You wake up in the morning, you love to read the Bible, whatever. At one time in your life, it was like that. And now you've kind of wandered away. Dang, this is what you do. You just go back to that time. Just remember, well, I'm not sure if I know how to do it. Yes, you do. Just whatever you were doing when you were rocking, just start doing that again.
Today, Pastor Michael is going to use Abram as a reminder of how you can turn your back on a loving God. Abram turned his back towards God. He went to Egypt and he sinned against God. He even gave away his own wife. But God forgave him. And what did Abram do? He went back to worshiping God. You may feel like you aren't close to God or your relationship with God isn't the same as it used to be. But you can restore that relationship with Him. Remember a time that you were close to God and go back to that time. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 13 as he begins his message, A Lot to Learn.
We've been making our way right through this first book of the Bible. We finished up chapter 12 last time. So we're going to be in this. I'm finding that as we are living this Christian life, right? You know, we call it a journey. We're going after God. The Apostle Paul likened it to a race, right? We're running a race. But I'm finding that as we're on this journey, as we're running this race towards God, towards heaven, one day, as we just sang, we're going to see Him face to face. As we're doing that, at times we stumble and fall. At least I do. Anybody else relate to that? Yeah, we have times where we stumble and fall. As we've been looking at the life of Abram here, last in chapter 12, we saw Abram on this journey. He has listened to the voice of God who's called him out of his hometown of Ur. And he's left with his wife and he's left with his nephew Lot and both of their families and all their cattle. And they're on this journey to obey the Lord and go to the promised land and start what will be the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. And you see all of this and it's awesome and he's obedient. And then what we saw last week is that he had a bit of a stumble and he fell a little bit. He messed up big time. We see him lying and being a phony. And I don't know, it makes me think that this happens in my life as well. God, I love you, man. I want to obey you. I just want to be your son and make you proud and bring glory to your name and not just in a song, but I want my life to bring you glory. And what I find is at times during that race, during that time, I can fall and stumble. And I, as we saw Abram do, right? He's stressed out. He freaked out, and then he went to Egypt, and he fleshed out. You know, Egypt, if you weren't here, Egypt is always in the Bible a picture of the world. And that can be my tendency. I'm going after God, but I, in times of stress, I can freak out, and then I flesh out. I can run back to the old way of life. But what we find here in chapter 13 is that God's quick to forgive. Amen? Like, would any of us be here if God wasn't quick to forgive? Like, this is how he has arrested our hearts. I'm learning that God desires to reveal to us that his capacity to forgive is greater even than my capacity to sin. God's capacity to forgive is even greater than my capacity to sin. And let me tell you right now, my capacity to sin is way up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pretty good at it. I might even be called a professional. But God's capacity to forgive is even greater, which is why we gather like this, because we love him, because he's first loved us. Amen? So here we're going to dive into chapter 13. We're going to see Abram, who's really messed up, get back on track, okay? So chapter 13, the first verse says, Abram, he went up from Egypt to the Negev, he, his wife, and all he had. And Lot, that's his nephew, went with him. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. Verse 3, he went by stages from the Negev to Bethel. That probably means that he would go all day and then stay somewhere at night and then go just in stages. He wasn't able to get there just in one quick trip. He went by stages of Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been. Bethel in Hebrew means the house of God, and Ai means the dump. And Abram had set his tent up between the heap of rubbish, the Ai, the dump, and the house of God. And we were talking about how that's like us. We're not in the house of God yet. It'd be awesome if we were, but we're not there. But we're also not of this world. We're somewhere in between the dump and the house of the Lord. But I love Abram here. He's set up there. He set up a temporary place because we are temporarily going through. We are pilgrims, strangers in a strange land. And that's what he's done. So he's blown it. He fleshed out in Egypt, and we see him coming back to the place that he was there. He set up his tent where he had formerly been. Verse 4, to the site where he had built the altar, and Abram called on the name of the Lord there. I love this. So again, remember, Egypt was a type of the world, and he's messed up. But now we see him going back to Bethel, going back to that place where he is. And what's the first thing we see him do again? Build an altar. And we talked about that. Abram's always building an altar. It's like everywhere he goes, we see him building an altar. He's putting an altar up here, and an altar speaks of worship. It speaks of a sacrifice. And so what's interesting, he didn't build an altar in Egypt, though. We have no record that he set up a tent there or that he built an altar there. But he remembers where he was, he repents, and then he returns back to the place where of worship once more. Very, very important. Gang, let me say something, man. If you are listening to me now, if you ever find yourself in a place where you are feeling further and further away from the Lord, you're like, dude, one time I was rocking morning devotions and I was at church all the time and I was just couldn't get enough of the presence of God in my life. But to be honest with you, lately I've kind of wandered a little bit further off. The good news is, man, you can always come home. You can always remember where you were, repent, and return. Amen? Amen? Anybody ever had to do that? Just me? Okay. You know, one time Jesus, well, it's actually in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. But Jesus is talking to a group of people in a city called Ephesus who had at one time been passionate for him. Like they loved Jesus, and Jesus is talking directly to them because they had left that first passion, that first love that they had. Listen to what he says, Revelation 2:5. Jesus says, remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works. Can I say it this way? That you used to do. Remember, repent, and return. Get back to the stuff that you used to do. Maybe your life, your Christian spiritual life, was on fire at one time. And I know that's been an overused cliche in church. You know, I'm on fire for Jesus. But you know what I mean by that. Like, you're just passionate. Like, you just want more of God. You wake up in the morning, you love to read the Bible, whatever. At one time in your life, it was like that. And now you've kind of wandered away. Gang, this is what you do. You just go back to that time. Just remember, well, I'm not sure if I know how to do it. Yes, you do. Just whatever you were doing when you were rocking, just start doing that again. Does that make sense? Remember where you were. Repent. Repent means, God, I'm sorry. I went to Egypt for a little bit there, Lord. Fleshed out a bit. Went back to the old way of living. Would you forgive me? The Bible tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and he's fair. He's just. He'll forgive us of all of our sin, and he'll wipe clean. He'll cleanse us from our unrighteousness, right? So all we got to do is confess it. We just say, God, I've blown it. We repent, and then we go back and start doing the stuff that we used to do. Maybe you're listening, you're like, well, I don't know if I've really been absolutely head over heels in love with Jesus since I was this big. Well, what did you do when you were this big? Well, grandma drugged me to church every Sunday. Well, then drag yourself to church every Sunday. Do whatever you were doing to get back to that place. Are you with me? Man, if you were serving, then serve. If you were loving, then whatever it was, go back to that place and do it again. Abram here goes back to where it all began. He goes back to Bethel. That could be the rallying cry for all of the us that wander away. I got to get back to Bethel. I got to get back to the house of God, that place where his presence is. Amen? Dude, listen, I'm going to tell you right now. You were made. You were made. I was made to be in intimate fellowship with the Lord, not some religious thing. And so God's saying, come on back, Abram. And he's quick to forgive. I love the Lord. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. Now Lot, that's Abram's nephew, okay? And he had gone with him all this way. Now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents. But the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together. For they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. So we're learning here that these guys were very rich, okay? We talked about this last time, I think, but the currency of the day was sort of cattle and sheep and camels and that kind of stuff, servants. So both of these guys, we learn here, have a lot, is basically what's going on. They've got a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, they have so much stuff that the land won't even support them. You with me? And so they're coming to this realization that as they've got all this stuff that they've been blessed with, the land won't support them. So let's go to verse 7. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And at that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. So check out what happens, okay? And I just think this is interesting. I think there's a lesson here for us. Here they are, Abram. Fleshes out in Egypt, okay? But he returns. He realizes he's messed up. He returns, gets back on track with the Lord. What's the first thing that happens? Quarreling and fighting with the people that are closest to him, his family. And I was just thinking, man, it's such a bummer that that is the case with many of us. Let me just tell you something. If you make a decision to go after Jesus Christ hardcore with your life, just get ready for all kinds of weird stuff to start happening. The enemy doesn't like, you know what the enemy wants to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? We know that, John 10:10. But here's another thing. He loves to divide and conquer. He really does. And what you'll find is that he likes to bring division between those who are closest to us. All of a sudden there's quarreling and there's this backbiting or whatever that can happen. I think we got to be really, really careful as we are intent to get back to Bethel, to get back to that place where we're in communion with the Lord, get ready for a fight. And sometimes it'll be with the people that you weren't expecting it to be with. It'll raise its ugly head and it'll seek to distract you from being on track. It'll seek to divide you from family, church family, your real family. It'll divide. And man, I'm telling you, that is a ploy of the enemy. And he's seeking to throw you off. Now let's keep going here. Verse 8. There's a lot to learn. That's what I'm calling this message. There's a lot to learn in this. There's a lot of little lessons that we're going to see here. But let's look at verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, okay, you got to check out, by the way, let me just say this. Abram, he messed up, okay? What we talked about last week was ridiculous. It was totally stupid that Abram did what he did. But now he's trying to get back on track, okay? And Abram here, what we find, he's got conflict, okay? Can I say it this way? His employees are having issue with his nephew's employees. It's causing problems, okay? And I see four qualities here that I want to bring out, a lot to learn. I think there's four qualities here that I want to bring out that I think are really good for us to learn for conflict resolution. Does anybody here, do you ever deal with conflict with people? Okay? I mean, it'd be great if we didn't. It'd be great if you could accept Jesus into your life and everything was hunky-dory. You know, that's a Hebrew term for this. It'd be great if that was the case, but oftentimes we will find ourselves that we bump up against each other because God's forming us together, he talks about in the New Testament, building this house thing. And sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Four qualities here that I think that are incredible lessons for us in dealing with conflict, okay? And the first one is here. It says there in verse 8, the very beginning, Abraham said to Lot. It's this, it's directness. He directly went to the person that he had the issue with. Does that make sense? It's directness, man. This is such a big deal for us. Abram goes to his nephew and he deals with the issue directly. He says, listen, there's strife. I don't know what it is. You know, your herdsmen, they want the green grass over here. And so now they're yelling because my herdsmen are there. You're hogging up the riverbank and we got to walk 2 miles to get to fresh water because you're stinking cattle and they're fighting with each other. So I'm not putting up with it because let me tell you something. As we just let things fester, they will get worse. So we're going to directly deal with this. Gang, I'm going to tell you, I believe, you know, maybe Abraham was even thinking, look at the people. We were told earlier in the last verse that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. Maybe Abram saw that these people are watching our herdsmen's lot. They're seeing us fight, and that's not good. That's not why we're called to be here. I believe the same thing's happening today. The heathen of the world are looking in at the church, and if they see us arguing and backbiting and fighting and gossiping with each other, not getting along, let me tell you, it is a lame witness to them, right? Doesn't the Bible say something about they will know we are Christians by our love one for another? Not just, I always thought that was like love for the people in the world. We should love the people in the world. But they'll know that we're followers of Christ by the way that we love one another. So if I have an issue with you, Reggie, and I don't deal with that and it just festers, the world can see that through little things that I say or little things that Reggie might say about me. And they're like, dude, these Christians say that they have the answer? What a joke. They don't have the answer, dude. They're as lame as I do. I fight with the people at my work too. What's the difference? With me? So what's a great quality? We deal with things directly. When you find that there's an issue, go to the person and deal with it. Amen? You with me? Now, verse 8, let's keep reading here. I stopped right there. He went to Lot and it says, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen. Here's the second thing that I see. Abram uses, in conflict resolution, he uses diplomacy. He uses directness, but he also uses diplomacy. On Wikipedia or in the dictionary, if you have one of those old things, it's like a book, opening it, it was in alphabetical order. Now we just Google it or we say, Siri, what does diplomacy mean? That's what I did. Anyway, this is what she said. She said, diplomacy is a skill and or tact in dealing with other people. Skill and tact in dealing with other people. Notice that Abram doesn't blame Lot. Like, dude, this is what I would do. I'd be like, hey, nephew, Lot, your herdsmen are jacking around with my herdsmen. They're messing with them, and I don't like it. And by the way, just to remind you, I'm the patriarch of the family. I'm the one that heard God. I'm the one that obeyed. You're actually following me. You're sort of riding my coattails into this thing called the Promised Land. Lot. By the way, stupid name my sister gave you. Lot. That's what I would probably do. Like, man, look what your guys are doing. They're totally hogging up the riverbank and they're taking all the green grass. Totally diplomatic in how he deals with Lot here. I love that. He's using skill and tact in dealing with him, and that's an awesome thing. We're about to see Lot and Abram go in different directions, and we're about to see Abram allow Lot to choose any way he wants to go. Rather than assuming the primary position as the patriarch and the leader of the home, Abram assumes the secondary position. Does that make sense? He chooses the primary position of shouldering the responsibility, but the secondary position of letting Lot choose the land. So look what he says here. He says, you know, our herdsmen, they're fighting or whatever. And then he says these words, since we are relatives. Do you see that? In the old King James Version, I think it says, since we are brothers. But that word is basically, there's blood here. Like we're tight. We're relatives. And this brings up the third thing that I think that we need in conflict resolution, and that is discernment. Abram discerns here. Do you understand? Our guys are fighting. This is lame. We're family, bro. Like we're brothers. Brothers and sisters. Like Abram, man, if you hear this and you don't hear anything else, just hear this. Abram was able to discern that Lot and he had more that united them than divided them. Does that make sense? When I fight with a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord, I must be discerning enough to recognize my Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross because he is head over heels in love with that brother that I'm choosing to fight with. I need to discern that we have more in common than we have that separates us. Are you with me? Okay, let me tell you something. When I fight with my wife, Kelly, which doesn't happen as much as it used to, okay? Just 12 or 13 times a week. No, I'm kidding. We don't fight that much. But when I fight with Kelly, I need to be discerning. I'm not just fighting with my wife. I'm fighting with a sister in the Lord. Isn't that crazy? Like, not to get creepy in Arkansas on you here. I'm married to my sister. What? In the Lord. Jesus Christ would have gone to Calvary, taken the beating that he did, hung on the cross for Kelly alone. And that's my wife, but she's my sister. And when I get into that place where there's some issue, there's some conflict that's there, I must get to the place where I say, hold on, time out. Who am I fighting with here? She's my sister in the Lord. You with me? Man, if we could see each other like that, we got to have discernment for the true identity of those that we have issues with. Let's go to verse 9. So Abram's still talking. He says, isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I will go to the left. That verse has always been, it's always been amazing to me because Abram is the patriarch of the family, right? He is the leader of a lot of people, let's just say a lot. Kelly is the only one that laughs. You know, it's funny, people watch our sermons from other states and they'll be like, you know, it's so great. We always hear your wife. She's the only one. That's great. And Reggie sometimes, praise the Lord. But Abram is the patriarch. He's the leader. And yet we see Abram here is the one that gives Lot a choice to make. I love that. And that's the fourth quality that I just want to bring up here. It's dignity. Okay, all these start with a D. Directness, diplomacy, discernment, and dignity. Abram simply says, Lot, take your pick. You understand, he didn't have to do that. The position that he held, he did not have to do that. And we read these stories and sometimes they just kind of go in one ear and out the other ear. Think about this for a minute. He's the patriarch. He's the man. And he's like, Lot, you just choose. Do whatever you want to do. And I thought that was so interesting. I found a quote this week by George Washington, first president of the United States. And he said this, when there is an elder man and a younger man in the same room, the elder man should never mention it, but the younger man should never forget it. Isn't that good? Abram is the elder man, and he doesn't mention it. He could have. I'm the dude. I'm the patriarch. Lot, fall in line. Get your stinking people in order, and you obey. He didn't do that. He doesn't mention it. Lot, however, chooses to forget it. He chooses to forget it with what we see, and I love that.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Genesis or turn to another book in the Bible. There's so much to learn from Scripture, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. If you missed any part of today's teaching or want to explore more of Pastor Michael's message, head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, we'd love to have you do so. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. to worship, learn from the Bible, and just enjoy being together as a family of faith. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch, be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. And you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And we look forward to the next edition, right here on Burning Hearts.